Morning. Our reading today is from, in your pew Bibles, from page number 1182. It's from Galatians 5, starting at verse 13, reading down to verse 26. So that's Galatians 5, 13 to 26. This is Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
A very, very strange thing happened to me when I became a Christian when I was 17, when I was truly connected with Christ, and I knew it. I found that I couldn't swear anymore. It was most weird. And it wasn't just the normal range of bad language that was the norm for a teenage lad who we spent most of his Saturday afternoons at the Stretford End at Old Trafford, laying into the opposition or questioning the parentage of the referee. But in particular, it was the name Jesus and the OMG phrase that I heard from a four-year-old ringing through Sainsbury's last week that has become so common parlance these days. Because something very, very deep down had happened inside my spirit. And I know it doesn't happen to everyone, but for me, that was very tangible proof that the reality of God in my life was affecting the things that I did. It was affecting my character. The most extraordinary thing was that it just happened. It sort of, I didn't ask for it to happen. I didn't even necessarily want it to happen. I didn't need to try and stop. Oh, I must stop swearing. But something in me had changed. I can't explain it, apart from the life of the Spirit. There were other things in my life which hadn't been changed, like my capacity to be incredibly competitive to the point of cheating occasionally. And I remember, I will tell you, I don't think I've ever gone public with this. When I was a little bit older, I was playing cricket for Colwyn Bay's second team. And I was trying to get into the first team. And early on in the innings in this ground, I can still picture it now, it's so vivid in my mind. A ball came from a spin bowler, and I made about 5 runs, and I just clipped it through to the wicketkeeper.
Jose!
And the umpire said, out. I said, oh, I didn't. I never nicked it. I never touched it. And I stood my ground. I argued with the umpire. And he let me get away with it. I knew I'd nicked the ball and I was out, but I was so determined to stay in, and I went on to make 42 runs, which was my highest score in first-class cricket. Paul Peterson is away, so I can do a little bit of boasting. But here's the rub. On the back of that good innings, I was selected for the first team, and I played opening batsman for Colwyn Bay first team. My mum even came to see me. She never, ever came to see me play cricket or anything else, but this was the only time she came, and she watched from the car on the Colwyn Bay cricket ground. And I was out first ball. And I never played for the firsts again. And it was only this morning in the shower that I made that connection. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, God usually has the last laugh. Or if he does not laughing, he's weeping. Because character counts. Character counts. And the key truth that fundamental to everything that we're going to be considering this series about fruitfulness on the front line, that it is the Holy Spirit who produces that fruit in us. We can celebrate and be in awe of the living God at work as we hear story after story of the Spirit transforming and shaping people's lives to become a little bit more like Jesus. And this series is particularly important for us because discipleship is at the heart of our vision as a church, learning to live the life of the Spirit in us, to live by the Spirit, as St. Paul declares in that reading in Galatians. Live by the Spirit. Can't get clearer than that. Being a disciple is the process of learning to do just that, to live by the Spirit's power, not our own. We have lived by our own strength, not by the power of your resurrection. Lord, have mercy upon us. So let's just, for a structure, as it were, look at two things. And I want to use the logo as a basis for what we're thinking about this morning. The first thing I want us to think about are the grapes. I don't know what you thought of when you looked afresh at that logo. If you can't see the screen, there's an image of it on the song sheet there, in the pew sheet. But the grapes represent the many faceted expressions of life that are around us. And over this series, we'll be looking at the fruitfulness in regard to character, to just the way we change culture, the way that truth and justice are stood for, that we're mouthpieces of truth and justice, and that we're ministers of grace and love and messengers of the gospel, all those sort of things that Paul talked about last week. And you can see laid out in this very, very well written and highly commended book, Fruitfulness on the Front Line by Mark Green. Be great if lots of us got a copy of that. You'll see what all the sermons are about then as well. But we are, as a bunch of grapes, a pretty mixed bunch. Each of us shows some of the qualities that are described in Galatians chapter 5. Some are, in the words of an Iona prayer, pregnant with generosity. There's goodness flowing through us. Some overflow with joy, irrespective of circumstances. Some say one thing and they do it. They are faithful to their word. Other people, maybe even the same people, who don't show those qualities, show other ones, like with me in the cricket. Some people can show impatience, lack of discipline, easily become anxious. We're not a perfect bunch, therefore. But the good news is that no perfect people are allowed in God's kingdom. The vital thing is that we are aware of our failings and our weaknesses, and we don't try and pretend that we've got it all together, then we confess our sins to one another. The frequent charge against Christians is that there is a hypocrisy about their lives. The word hypocrite literally means one who hides behind a mask, that they're not open. People today are looking for integrity rather than perfection. And people will forgive a great deal if people admit they've got it wrong. The gospel is one that says, come as you are. We had a great time with our grandchildren yesterday out in the sun. Our little grandson, Henry, absolutely devoured 2 bowls full of ice cream and fresh fruit. And by the end of that, along with the stuff that he had before, which was full of tomatoes and onions and sausages and things, his face was completely covered. We were out in the garden on a barbecue. And his face was so full, it was hilarious. When we came to the point at the end of the meal, and we were going to get down, he looked at me and he sort of opened his mouth a little bit, which means he wants a kiss. So I went over and gave you a big, big kiss right over his filthy face. And that's what our God does with us. He comes and kisses us, no matter how dirty our faces are. It's sometimes said the best advert for Christianity are Christians, and the worst advert for Christianity are Christians. We are a mixed bunch, but we cannot be people who try to pretend what we're not, that together we portray something of the life of Christ. And so that's why the logo says Christ Church Down End, because it's not I have to be showing all these fruit of the Spirit together. I can't possibly do all that, but together we do. We are seen as a bunch of people who together, a community, reveal something of the life of Christ. Hallelujah. Second thing, you notice that there is a very clear attachment between the grapes and the vine. There's the vine leaf. We are attached to the vine. And that's why we're fruitful. We can only be fruitful in the many different ways that we mean that if we are attached to the vine. And this goes back to words we were looking at quite a lot last year when we were thinking about Jesus' teaching in John 15. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, if we're connected to Christ, we will bear that fruit. If we're not, then we won't. How do we do that? Well, I want to say it's through 2 things, prayer and pain. Prayer in the sense of connecting to Christ. And St. Paul, in another passage, talks about the way in which we with unveiled faces contemplate, just be present to, gaze upon the Lord's glory. We are being transformed as we do that into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. All this, he says, comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So it's absolutely fundamental that prayer and just being present to God, not in this please help me with my exams prayer, but just being present to God prayer, is an integral part of our lives as disciples. As we'll sing at the end of our service, Graham Kendrick's great anthem, as we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness. But you'll also see in this that there is a piece of vine, as it were, a branch going across the connecting piece, forming the shape of the cross. The fact is that we are called to make decisions that will create in us a sense of pain. Indeed, St. Paul, when he wrote to this letter to the Galatians, talked about it in terms of being crucified with Christ. He says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. There's a great deal of pain in crucifixion. In the Christian life, death comes before life. The spiritual life in this world is lived as said Jesus. We deny ourselves, our big selves that get in the way and take center stage and take up Christ's cross, that is a way of dying, and follow Christ in the way that leads to fullness of life. And that involves the discipline of pruning that we considered for some time last year. And he gives you a very, very powerful and challenging list of things that need to be put to death by God's grace and purifying fire. Sexual immorality. If that's a weakness, you need to turn the television off before 10 o'clock at night. You need to make sure those websites are blocked that you're tempted to go on. You need to make sure that your eyes don't follow the woman going down the road. Whatever it means for you, there has to be that painful cutting and starving what you want to die and feeding what you want to grow. It's a very simple principle. Each of these qualities, which we won't go through now, can be addressed in God's strength and with the help of wise people around us as part of the body of Christ, who we can be accountable to and who will disciple us and pray with us and build us up and encourage us and give us the strength in the Lord to overcome those acts that totally undermine our witness as Christians when they're seen. Rolf Harris's life has been shattered because of those character traits that he wasn't able to deal with. So, as we pray for one another, as we pray ourselves, we will know the transforming power of God's Spirit. And that's why in June we're going to have a special week when we pray for each other, a whole church prayer week. We focus on ourselves and on the character of Christ, praying that the fruit of the Spirit may be seen in one another. I'll speak more about that on another time. Our prayer is that we want to be changed, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. And we're going to hear lots of stories that our lives speak of. And I'm going to ask if Jane White would come forward now. We're just going to ask her to share a tiny little insight into a story that she told us when we were talking about the things that led to Jane being appointed as our CAP manager. Jane, just tell us a little bit of what happened when you were working in the bank.
Right, I've been told to keep this very short, so I will try very hard. It's been very long. I used to work for a building society, and we had a customer that used to come in quite regularly. A young man in his 20s, very smart, jeans and t-shirt smart, but smart. He was always angry. There was always something wrong with his account. We'd give him forms and an envelope to send the forms to head office. We'd see him walking towards the branch and your heart would literally hit your stomach. You'd think, I've got to deal with him again. We used to take it in turns because it got that bad. This one day, I saw him walking towards the branch, and I have no idea where the thought came from, but I turned to my colleague. I said, I will deal with this, but I'm going to take him in the office. He came in. I said, oh, something wrong? I said, is your standing order not gone out again? Lots of grunting and groaning. So I said, right, let's sort it out. Let's go in the office. We'll sort it out once and for all. I went in the office. I sat behind the desk, sat him down. I said, okay, would you like me to fill out the form? And there was this deep breath from him, and he said, yes, please. And in that second, I realised he couldn't read and write. I had judged him for months as just being somebody that was not very happy. He had a problem, but was too embarrassed to address it. We addressed it. Now, the upside of this story is, our branch did really well out of him. He put our figures through the roof, because it was not only him, it was his whole family, and most of his friends came to us. I'd heard what he hadn't said. My new job with CAP, I am going to have to listen and hear things that people can't say because they're too ashamed to say them. God's given me that, that I can now listen. And now I am going to shut up.
Thank you. We're going to pray for Jane now, because she's just about to launch into this new post now, and I